Welcome back to the Off-Screen Shooters. Today, we talk about the finale of the 2021 NBA season. The Bucks are your new NBA champions. Shout out Bonkers Nation. Talk a little Giannis, talk a little Suns. And we wrap it up with drafting our favorite individual player playoff performances. I know that's a mouthful, but it's a good one. Stick around. This is episode 29. Here we go. Today is July 21st, the day after the NBA Finals. Chris is not here, but I am here with Francis and Saran, and we are here because we have a new NBA champion. The Bucks defeated the Suns in six last night. Final score was 98-105. Giannis dropped a 50 bomb to seal the deal. And first things first, I know for those who have been longtime listeners, and I mean that by the last 6 months, for those who have been following us, you know we have not been very kind to Bonkers Nation and Milwaukee. So I'm going to first off pass the floor over to Saran and Francis. Guys, now's your chance. If you guys want to send your apology letters, this is your last chance in 2021. Saran, let's start with you.
Who am I apologizing to? Number 34?
Whoever you want. No, I'm not telling you have to. I'm just asking.
All right.
Just asking the question. Is there any closing thoughts on the finals? And do you want to comment on number 34?
Okay. I guess I'll start here. I remember back in 2019, I felt Milwaukee, they swept the MVP, the coach of the year, and the executive of the year. The executive of the year literally traded for Eric Bledsoe. That was the only move he made. That's the move that won him the award that year. But anyways, I will say kudos to them for making that Jrue Holiday trade. I know at the time people were discussing the picks and everything, but good job for the Jrue Holiday trade and well done in drafting Chris Middleton and Giannis.
Did they draft?
Oh, Middleton? No, they didn't.
He was on Detroit, oh, no?
He was on Detroit and then, yeah.
That's true. He got traded a few times, I remember.
I just know Detroit and the Bucks. I don't know where else he's played, to be
wasn't
honest.
Wasn't it? Because didn't the Bucks also have? Was it Tobias Harris who was? Because I remember like Tobias Harris also got passed around.
He was on Detroit too.
He was on the Magic first, and then he got traded.
Was it the Magic?
Yeah, he started off with the Magic. I know Tobias Harris, and then he got traded to. I don't think was it the Bucks. It might have been Detroit.
He was in Detroit, wasn't he?
It might have been Detroit.
No, yeah, no. He was drafted by the Bucks. 2011. He played 2 years with the Bucks.
And then he went
then
to Detroit?
Orlando. No, then Orlando, then Detroit. But that was like...
We talking Middleton or...
No, Tobias. We're talking Tobias.
Tobias. All true.
So he was drafted by Milwaukee in 2011. Because I remember like him and Middleton were like no names, basically. And like they somehow now, you know, 2021, two big contract guys.
Shout out Brandon Jennings. That guy came out of nowhere yesterday. I saw him on Twitter all over the place.
Okay, like, see, that's the thing with those predictions. It's like, there's no consequence if you make the wrong prediction. Of course he's going to say Bucks in six. He was playing in Milwaukee for how long? Like, he's a Milwaukee guy. If you're down 0-2, of course you're going to say Bucks in six. And it just so happened that it happened. So I'm not giving him any credit for that. I'm sorry.
When did he say it, though? Didn't he say it, like,
he said it when
ago?
They were down 0-2.
No, he said it, like, years ago. It was, like, an old quote.
Yeah, I thought it was an old quote.
Yeah, it's an old quote. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, if it was an old quote, then...
And then it just got viral. It, like, went viral. And then they ended up winning in six.
Yeah, it was a playoff series against the Heat, like the Heatles. And I think they were down 0-2. And I think someone said it. I think he might have said it then. And then he just brought it back now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so let me say, hey, guys, Raps in six. And you can quote this when they win in six, whenever they do
every series possibility. Raps in four.
Okay, Saran's got Raps in four.
I got Raps in four.
Yeah, just get the sound bites right now. Get them ready.
Just get the sound bites and then just bring it back up when the time comes. You know.
I like how we haven't even talked about Giannis yet.
So where's your apology?
Should I? Okay. Was my criticisms too harsh? Sure. Do I take my word back? No, I still think I think at his size and his body type.
I like the energy.
the skill, it's capped off. Like, there's not much he can do. I know, Francis, you said he could work on his handle. I don't think the handle's going to get any better. He is a one-on-one problem. I will give him that. But, oh, now I'm sounding like a hater. No. This is Giannis' day. This is Giannis' day. So happy for him. I'm just saying, I don't think Phoenix had the personnel to stop him. I'll say that much.
Oh, we knew that for the... Like, come on. They never had a chance. I mean, Aiden did an okay job. He wasn't terrible. In the post, when he would back Aiden down, like, there were times where he, like, affected the shot. But downhill, it's... So you make that argument where, like, you're basically saying, well, he was born to do this, basically. And I think, I know that he's been compared to Shaq before, but this is something that even in the early 2000s, people would make that argument with Shaq. It's the same thing. Well, if I had Shaq's size and weight, I'd be running down the floor, posting up 40s and 20s like it's nothing. So it's kind of the same argument in that sense.
Orlando, LSU Shaq was different. Like, he showcased some skills. Like he would sometimes bring up the ball. Not like how bigs bring up the ball now, but there would be times where he would run the fast break and he would pull out a couple moves, and he was just more agile back then. And then it was until LA where he just bulked up and became a monster.
Yeah, he became fat. Drop step, hook shot.
But I remember thinking, like, back then, like, this is impossible to stop. Like, he's so big. Like, all he did was, like, back to the basket all the way till he was underneath the rim, and then he would just two-hand slam it.
Yeah.
That's all I remember as a kid he would do. And then the hack-a-shacks.
See, I still think there are personnel in the NBA and teams that can stop Giannis. So that's where my beef is with Giannis, but... Excellent
Raptors
game.
Did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, I still think it's possible. It has to be a team scheme. It's not going to be just one guy. So it is greatness on Giannis's part. You know, he needs double, like, teams and whatever, but...
I feel like Phoenix didn't use the Giannis wall, or they didn't do the Giannis wall. They played him one-on-one most of the time.
Exactly.
I feel like they didn't want the others to get going, which kind of worked. It kind of worked in the first two games. And then Middleton just started, like, turning up. Have you seen the Middleton cycle? That meme on...
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
Instagram. He goes ghost for a bit. Like, he doesn't play too well. And then he becomes, like... I forget what Michael the other Jordan. Steps were, but he becomes Michael Jordan.
Yo, I've seen those, like, side-by-side videos.
He's clutch. I actually think he's, like, one of the most clutch players in the league.
Going back to that Shaq comparison, that's kind of how the Bucks were built this year. Like, you have the big guy, who's Giannis, who's just straight up downhill, who'll just be the guy in the paint on both ends of the court. And then when it comes down to the last 5 minutes, we've been saying Chris Middleton is the most clutch player on the Bucks team. Like, we've been saying even since the beginning of the regular season. And it showed once again in the finals. Who hit the dagger shots in game 5 and game 6? Giannis is not, like, he's a guy that you can run out there and, like, he'll put up numbers for, like, the first 38 minutes of the game. And then when it comes down to crunch time, when you need that shot creation, Middleton's there. So that's why Giannis can't win without Middleton.
Well, I saw someone make the comparison with the Kobe and Shaq. I mean, Middleton's nowhere near Kobe, but, like, Giannis needs a closer. And Middleton was the closer in the series, or in this whole playoff run, basically.
Well, let's just go back to game five for a second. So I think game 5, I think we can all agree the series defining play was the alley-oop at the end. Because I really thought the Suns were on the they were on the brink of making a comeback at home. And they were going to take that game. And the strip and dunk just sealed the deal. I think that alley-oop in itself, Giannis just slammed the Suns into oblivion. Like, he crushed their souls with that alley-oop. Like, you can see game 6 coming out, that first quarter was so brutal. Like, there was no heart, no passion. You see, like, nothing from the Suns. Like, no fire, nothing. So, like, I think that dunk just, it wiped out any chance for the Suns to ever win 2 in a row against Milwaukee. And it was the same story at the end of game 5 when the Suns, like, they're just too small. Like, this was the perfect matchup for Milwaukee, and that, like, if they played the Jazz, they'd have trouble. Okay, I know we don't want to give Rudy credit.
Yeah, I agree.
But, okay, like, Rudy and Favors is better than Kaminsky and Aiden. Like, come on the defensive side. And if you play the Nuggets, you got Jokic, you got McGee, you got Millsap. The Suns, they're just too small. And when you lose Saric, I know he's not, like, a significant contributor, but at least he gives you some size. Like, these guys were just grabbing. At one point, they were playing Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, and Giannis, and, like, they went crazy on the glass. Like, they were just second chance points all over the place. And he would, like, Giannis would go up and he'd either get hacked or, like, he'd get an easy dunk. So, like, I think game five was, like, they were both really good games, but, like, game five said a lot in terms of how the rest of the series would play out. And then the game six, it started sloppy. Like, Drew completely, I mean, and he's been doing this pretty much the whole series, but anytime Drew was on Booker, it was, like, the torture chamber or the torture chamber, whatever you want to call it. Like, he was having such a tough time. Like, it was just running into a brick wall over and over again.
I think PJ also had some good minutes on Book last night, what I remember.
Oh, he got crossed though.
Yeah,
he dropped him and he missed.
I wish he hit that one.
I'm just remembering the last play. I think, I don't know, I just felt like Devin Booker was, they were doubling him. It was a tough time, but I just remember him getting stripped, and I was just the most frustrating part of the game, and I was like, God.
Yeah, I felt like the whole series, every time the Suns were sort of coming back or they were going on a run, they would make the Bucks miss, but they couldn't get the rebound. And then that would, like, kind of stop their run. There would be, like, a big offensive rebound for the Bucks, and it would kind of stop the Phoenix run. I found that happened a lot in the series. I think after the first two games, Chris Paul, he just didn't seem as confident. I don't know if you guys...
Was there an injury issue? Like, was he, like,
hobbling? They say his hand or something. But, like, usually in the mid-range, he's automatic. And, like, he likes to take them. And, he's confident in those shots. But it seemed like he was deferring to Booker a lot. Which is, like, fine, because Booker was playing out of his mind for game 4 and 5. But even, like, I remember in the regular season, Booker would have his games, and then Chris Paul would still be the closer. Like, he'll still be the guy that finishes out the game, like, he closes out the other team. But it just seemed like he didn't want to attack. He was kind of passive. But I guess you can give Drew some credit there, because it just seemed like whoever Drew was on, they would get stopped momentarily, and then the other person would go off. Like, so if Drew was on CP3, Booker would start going off, and then they would put Drew on Booker, and then CP3 would hit a couple shots. Like, that's how it felt to me. So for my Giannis apology, okay, I'm gonna say this. I think I was talking. I was talking in the sense that, like, I think I was really diminishing his mindset when I said that if I had his body, I would be way better. But I really, like, discredited his mindset, so I'm gonna apologize for that. I think his mindset and, like, his mentality is, like, it's up there. It's, like, with the Kobe's and
pretty elite still.
Yeah, and you can tell from his press conferences, like, this guy says the right thing, like, you know his mind straight, and I'll give him credit for that. But I don't see any lies told about what I said about his skill.
Let's go.
If you were inside, you'd be NBA Finals MVP right now.
No. I'm at least in the NBA. Let's say that. I'm at least at a minimum starter.
In the league.
I'll say I'm at least a starter.
No, but then also, it's like, are you talking about his body when he was drafted or, like, his body right now?
His body
right now. That's a 3-inch difference, and, like, he bulked up, like, 50 pounds since his draft.
His body right now. Because I'm giving him credit for his mentality. I think he actually... I was discrediting his hard work and his mentality. And I don't want to do that. Like, he's come a long way since, like he said, since his rookie year. Even just to get a body like that, like, that takes a lot of discipline. And that's why I'm apologizing for that. But I still do not think the skill is there. So last night, I was watching the game. And in the second quarter, he was going off. And as he was going off, I kid you not, I fell asleep. This is how much I do not like his game. Granted, I was really tired, but it's an NBA Finals Game 6, and a superstar is going off, and it didn't keep me up.
Yeah. Yo, 16 of 17 from the free throw line didn't keep you up, what?
So that, I guess it might be a personal thing. Like, I just don't like watching him play, but I'll give him his props and congratulating him for winning that Finals MVP and winning the championship. But I think who impressed me the most was Middleton out of all the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wouldn't have happened without him. Just go back to the Giannis point. I think, you could say that, he hasn't really improved much since like 2019. Which, by the way, first of all, pat your backs to, if you're a Toronto Raptors fan, you can pat your backs, because this Giannis mentality would have never happened if he didn't, if we didn't send him home crying in 2019. So,
and 17.
Yeah, so give us some credit, Milwaukee, okay? We what's that Drake meme?
Which one?
We did this. Oh, it started because of us.
We were his the bad boy Pistons. We were his Pistons. Yeah,
exactly. We built up his mental toughness throughout the years through Kawhi and Marc Gasol and company. So and also, I would say, given where his game is at right now, like, does he really need to get better though? Because he's already like, you can improve, I guess, if there's like one thing you can improve on, like his touch and like his shot. But first of all, like, for big men to have a shot, it's less likely because their hand size is like, it's like shooting a tennis ball basically in like a small hoop. So, and like, if he's already so dominant in the paint, like, I don't think, like, I'd be okay with him just playing this type of way for, like, if I was a Milwaukee fan, like, I wouldn't, like, I'm not going out of this thinking like, okay, like, what's what are you going to work on this offseason? Like, what's next on the table? Like, how are you going to improve your game? I think he's fine where he's at. And if he just keeps doing what he's doing, as long as they have the right pieces around him, I think he's, and if he continues this trajectory as a 26-year-old, I think maybe I know why there's this so much Giannis slander from you. And maybe you don't even know it.
I know what you're going to say.
Because let me remind you, LeBron James is 2037 next year. So the league's going to be looking for a new face. Giannis at 26 compared to LeBron. I think LeBron, did he win his first championship yet?
MJ didn't have anything either by 26, just saying.
No, but yeah, we're talking about,
he had nothing.
We're talking about the heir versus the king versus the heir to the throne, potentially. Yeah,
okay.
In this case. So, you know, maybe a little bit of jealousy, Saran. maybe you're scared that LeBron will be
an afterthought?
I guess just an afterthought in 10 years when Giannis is on the podium retrieving his fifth ring and his fourth finals MVP. And it's okay to admit that. It's okay. Like, you're a LeBron stan. You just...
No, this is my Skip Bayless moment. What did he say to Kawhi? He's like, I'm back.
What did he say? What a do, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that because... Okay, no, I was going to screenshot some tweets, and I was like, because the way they were praising him right now, I'm just like, this does not add up. But then at the same time, I was like, I was kind of happy for Giannis, because you saw the way he was celebrating.
Yeah, wholesome.
Yeah, it was wholesome. Like, and then you hear about a story, and it's like, you can't really hate on the guy. So I'm just like, the game, it is baby Shaq, in my opinion, or like, I guess prime Shaq, whatever dominant big man Shaq was. It's just, I think that Shaq, there were no people who could stop him. I think Timmy D was a good one for him. This Giannis, I think there are people who could stop him, but Milwaukee Bucks as a team, this whatever they are, this dynasty maybe.
No.
The way Chris Middleton's going and no. Drew is going to be solid for a bit. Who knows?
I think it's a one and done.
Yeah.
I think they're happy.
Okay, so you guys said it. I didn't say it. I don't want to say it. You guys said it.
But there's it's within the realm of possibility that he could win multiple. Maybe not in Milwaukee, but he could possibly win multiple titles. Like, next year is going to be much tougher. And let's go into the Suns for a bit. Like, you saw Monty Williams, Chris Paul post game. Like, I agree. Like, it's just so tough to get to the finals. And Chris Paul just squandered the opportunity. He was up 2-0. I know they're playing an like a superior team, in my opinion. But when you're up 2-0 and for you to blow it like that, it's like, man, it's just soul crushing. And but you saw LeBron James courtside, Chris Paul free agent, LeBron knees point guard.
That's what they say. That's what they're saying in the rumor mill.
That's what they're saying. Rumors are swirling. One more thing. So I know Chris is not here to speak on behalf of himself. He did, however, write an apology note that he wanted me to read on the air. So that Milwaukee fans out there don't think that he's just ducking from the smoke after what he said last week and the week before and pretty much the whole season. Anyways, I'll just take the time right now to read it out. So this is a quote from Chris. I'd like to apologize to Giannis Antetokounmpo for not believing in his current skill set and for claiming that he sucked several times throughout our previous episode. Despite getting 50 points on free throws and running straight to a rim, I simply cannot deny his passion to compete, stay humble throughout adversity, and staying with the team that drafted him instead of taking the cheap way out. These playoffs have taught me a lot about myself too, and that is to not judge players right away and to learn to appreciate greatness as it is happening. Though my hatred for the Bucks has withered, but my hatred for the Clippers has gotten even stronger. With that being said, the Los Angeles Clippers are frauds and Kawhi Leonard left the Raptors for a crappier team. Yeah, so that's very classic Chris to bring it back to the Clippers out of nowhere. And I appreciate that he, you know, it was a self-revealing experience for him, learning about more about himself. So good job, Chris. Proud of you.
Yeah, shout out Chris. I was thinking about that too. Ever since we started this podcast, I'm like, all my takes are recorded. So like, I got to chill with the takes, bro. I'm going to more simmered takes from now on.
No. We want the heat. Like, we want the unconventional stuff.
But I can't handle the heat. I can't handle when I'm proven wrong. And Giannis did prove me wrong. I will say, like, I thought you can't win with a team surrounded around Giannis, or you can't win with a team as Giannis as the best player, basically. And he did it. There were some injuries that helped, but I'm not going to do that.
The asterisk.
Okay, we could have said, you could say that about any championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a 2019, fan, for example.
Exactly, for sure.
One more thing I wanted to add was we heard his comment about super teams during the press conference. So this ad that Chris wanted me to read reminded me of that. And I know they debated this on First Take too. They were talking about, does Giannis's championship, is it worth more than KD's two rings, for example? I think it is.
Oh, 100%. You're asking us?
No, I'm not asking. I'm just saying that in my opinion. However, I think Steven Jackson said this somewhere else, like yesterday too, but he's like, he argued that Giannis at the moment, like he is on a super team with Drew and Middleton, and that, but I think I still value the loyalty that he's like, it's hard. Like in today's game, it's hard to stay with one franchise, given like the pressure you feel, the things you read on Twitter and the media, all the, you know, player empowerment stuff. Like, it's hard to respect and trust a franchise for more than like 5 years. If you're a superstar and you're like, you're looking for championship aspirations, just look at Dame. He's probably on his way out. And when a player wants his way out, he's eventually going to get it. So I think Dame is at the peak of his value right now, but that's another story for another day. But my point is that it's just tough to stay with one team and to win a championship with the team that you drafted. Like, I think the last 20 years, there's been a very short list of those players. So credit to them. Good job, Giannis. And one more time for the fans. We going bonkers for the Milwaukee Bucks. We going bonkers. I can't believe Bobby Portis led the Let's Go Bucks chant at the podium when he received it. Like, I can't believe he didn't do the We Going Bonkers. This guy doesn't even know.
Missed his chance. Do you guys think Giannis is the best player in the NBA right now, currently?
No.
Because I don't. I think it's KD, to be honest. And I'm not even a KD fan either. I think KD is the best player
when he's healthy currently. Yeah, when he's healthy, yeah. I think Giannis top five, though. I still think he's top five.
If you were to
pick one person to lead, like to build a championship contending team, one person,
I'd say he would be Luka.
He's top five.
I think he's second.
Behind who?
Durant. I'd go KD, Giannis. I don't even know where LeBron is now. I think that... I don't know.
Where's LeBron's friend?
He's still number one. Still
number one. Number one in your heart.
But he surpassed Kawhi. The box office too. I always thought that Giannis was worse than Kawhi. I always had Kawhi in over him. But I think it's safe to say Giannis surpassed him on my rankings.
Kawhi's got like injury issues now.
Yeah, I think healthy Kawhi, I'll still take him.
And I think like from a leadership standpoint, like Giannis is just better. The way you hear about him talk about his teammates, the loyalty he has to the team, like he's like super open in the press, like to the press. You saw those press conferences, right? Like he would really dive in like in depth to like what he was seeing during that play. And like, you know, he'd be asked, you know, what do you think about Middleton? And it's like nothing but high praise. And it's just not something you hear from, like you won't hear that from Kawhi. Like he'll probably say something generic like, oh yeah, you know, Paul George,
great. He'll never say great. I had to go tinkle.
I feel like
you never say that.
I feel like he complains a lot to his teammates instead of actually
who, Kawhi?
Kawhi, instead of actually uplifting them. That's what it seems like. On the bench, he kind of like, he low-key kind of looks like a whiner.
So that's why, like, I know we all complain that, like, he left, like, we're all sad that he left the Raptors. But, like, hindsight, like, spin zone, we went to the mountaintop with him and we never gave him a chance to, like, bring us down. Or, like, because I feel like if there was any sort of, like, let's say he did come back for, like, 3 years, there's no question within those 3 years, there would be the ups and downs. And when it's down, like, Kawhi, I don't know. I feel like he distances himself from not just the media, but sometimes with his teammates too. Like, because, like, the Spurs, look at the Spurs. Like, they had no idea what was going on with Kawhi. And then all of a sudden, like, one day, oh, I want out. Like, what? And it's the same thing with the ACL injury that he had. No one really knew what was going on. So, you know what? It's like that Batman quote. You live long enough to be become the villain.
See yourself become.
So I think it's just how, that's kind of how sports works sometimes with superstars. There is always, it's, you want to end it off at the right time before things get sour.
I'm just going to end it with this Giannis quote that I absolutely loved. It's when he was in the, like, he was at the, it was the post game after the game five. And he was saying, he was talking about his mindset. So here's the quote. He's like, when you focus on your past, that's your ego. When you focus on the future, it's your pride. Focus in the present, that's humility. Bro, that's bars. That is so bars, bar. Though. That is
a bar. I heard that, and I'm like, I had to, like, think back for a second. So if you focus on your past, that's your ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And if you focus on your future,
that's your pride. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you could focus on the present,
that's humility.
See, I don't know if the last two make sense, but you know what? It sounds good.
It's like kind of staying in the moment. It's like not getting ahead of yourself. It's
okay. I see.
Yeah.
Future pride.
The future pride.
I kind of see where he's coming from. Okay.
The future pride thing is kind of like, you're not who you think you are kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Or like.
Yeah, look at us. Genius. Genius.com.
Hey, for English as a second language, that was a pretty hard bar.
Yeah, that's not bad. To send 2021 off, congrats to the Bucks once again. Congrats to Giannis. And that wraps it up for the 2021 for the season and for our podcast. Well, we will have episodes dropping during the off season, but most of it will probably not be basketball related, aside from the draft and a few off-season things. And with that being said, speaking of draft, we got a draft coming up. Yes, we have a draft segment today. And in honor of the NBA Finals and this long playoff run that all the players have endured and us watching them endure this long playoff run, we have for you, well, we're drafting for you today, the top individual playoff player performances. Wow, that's a tongue twister. Of the last 20 years. Are we doing the last 20 years?
Sure.
Since 2020? Or since 2000?
Yeah.
Okay. So best or top individual player performances in the playoffs in honor of Giannis's 50-piece chicken McNugget to clinch the NBA Finals last night. I don't have the draft thing set up that Chris usually does. So, Saran, can you run that for me, please?
Let me run that right now. Okay, 3, 2, 1, randomize. Okay, we got 1 Francis, 2 Enoch, 3 Saran.
All right, Francis, you're number one. I know you're going off the dome, so if you need some
time. I didn't want number one.
The trap card.
That's too bad.
I feel like I'm going to miss the actual best one.
Yeah, your second round might be murky.
Like, I don't know if I'll pick the statistically the best number one.
It could be your favorite. Number one. Yeah.
It could be your favorite. Favorite. It's all subjective. There's no right answer.
I'm going to go with 2016 LeBron.
Good pick. Good pick.
That was for Cleveland. The story.
This is for you.
The story was just was too good. The 3-run deficit to come back from that was iconic. And then even the block and his what was it, back-to-back 40 games? He had the 40 game with Kyrie, and then he had the one in game 6. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that one as my number one. Because that was the best finals. Okay, I don't know if it was that one or the Heat one against the Spurs. I'd say 2016 was still my favorite. I'd say that was my favorite finals I've ever seen. So
I would agree.
I'm going to go with that one.
Good pick. Good pick.
Well, but I think, like, LeBron, his playoff run, I don't think it's, like, his statistically, like, the most impressive. Because the East was a cakewalk for all those 4 years. So there was nothing memorable about, except for LeBronto, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aside from that, those 4 years, nothing. I mean, maybe the Pacers game winner, I don't know. But there's nothing really memorable about the East, that playoff run on the East side. It was always about the finals and beating Golden State. Yeah, but the finals, that run in itself, yeah, you can't really disagree with that. I mean, coming back from 3-1, doing it for Cleveland, doing it for Saran. Like, it made me, I was so in on the Warriors. I remember that year. I was like, yes, you know, 73-9. Yeah, let's make history. Beat LeBron James back to back. And then, like, it was 3-1. I was like, yes, like, they're on the cusp. And then it was 3-2, and it was 3-3. And then I remember going into game 7. I was like, you know what? Like, I still want the Warriors to win, but, man, like, this is kind of a good story, like, for LeBron in Cleveland. You know, imagine if he actually wins. I don't think he'll win, but imagine if he did. And as the game went on, it was like halfway through, I remember, like, I started cheering for Cleveland. I was like, oh, this storyline is too good. Like, I'm sorry, like, Golden State, you had your chance.
Yeah.
But this is, it's over. I want Cleveland to win. So Francis is going with 2016 LeBron James doing it for Cleveland. Number one overall pick. Now it's my turn, right?
Yep. Enoch's number two.
So I'm going to go with, and I think this one, in my opinion, without question, would have been top of my list regardless. Because I was, like, ecstatic as I was watching this run.
I know.
I know it is.
When I say that, you already know which one this is. But it's 2010-2011 Dallas Mavericks. Come on, man.
Jeez.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, Dirk.
2011 Dallas Mavericks. Dallas being a third seed and Dirk just single-handedly. I would say he wouldn't, like, he had a very decent supporting cast, like a bunch of, like, future Hall of Famers. Most of them passed their prime, though. And I remember just, like, watching that whole playoff run pan out. It was, like, every time Dallas needed a shot, like, it was Dirk on the elbow back to the basket. And he'd, like, do his fadeaway or he'll, like, spin to the basket, get, like, a tough layup. And it doesn't, some of these shots are ridiculous. If you go on, like, if you just, like, rewatch any of them or, like, just that run, the level of difficulty, it was, like, insane. I think a lot of people had written off Dirk because this was past Dallas prime. This was past prime Dirk, everyone thought. It was in it, I think it was 06 when they lost to the Heat when they were the number one seed. And then they lost as the number one seed to the Warriors, the Wee Beautiful Warriors.
Yeah, 07, yeah.
So, like, just so much. It's kind of like the Chris Paul narrative, except he actually did it.
Eventually,
and yeah. He did it with the TV draft. He got drafted on.
Yeah.
Which you'll never, like, it's going to be very rare for us to ever see that again. So,
what do you mean? Giannis just did it.
No, okay, no, but Dirk, like, how long was he with the Mavs? I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
yeah.
The longevity-wise.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
To win it in, what, like, your 13th season or whatever?
Year 15, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, like, year 15. Overall stats wise, he averaged 27.7, 7.6 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and just shot the lights out in the clutch. And the most memorable part of it was, I remember very clearly this happening, and it was the game 2 against Miami Heat when they went on just like a 20-2 run to end that game and to win that game 2 to even the series. Because I thought they were dead in the water. And I remember because I hated LeBron James back then. Yeah. I've had many peaks of LeBron James hate, and like that was my first one because that was the first year where he was with Miami after like the decision. So I was like, yo, like, please beat this guy. Yeah. And for them to come back indicated like, yo, these guys got a chance. Like, these guys, they don't have the star power, but they got a chance. So for them to pull that off, and then Dirk again just hitting like dagger after dagger, like game 3, 4, 5, 6, winning it in 6, like, it's just, never forget that. I remember watching that at home. It's crazy. Francis. Now it's Saran, right?
Yeah, for the back to back.
Who wants to bet it's gonna be LeBron James?
No, I just wanted to add on Dirk, the thing about his shot was like such a high release point, and he was cooking Chris Bosh, pretty good or above average defender, so it was like
that was incredible.
Face, like... Yeah. Who was the Miami center for them? It was something Chandler.
Miami.
It was a Canadian dude.
Joel Anthony.
There we go. That was the name I was looking for. I was just like, get this scrub off. Like, Dirk, bro. He couldn't guard him, and Chris Bosh couldn't do anything. But yeah, anyways.
And it was redemption for 06. Like, yeah. Beating the same team that beat you 5 years ago.
I wouldn't say it's my personal favorite, but yeah, I thought consensus number one was this one, Dirk. But moving on, for my first pick, I will go with the personal favorite. It involved our Toronto Raptors. I'm going to go 19 Kawhi. What do I need to say? He had the shot. He had the most impressive wins where I thought was game 4 in Philly, where we were down 2-1 and he got us game 4 on the road, and game 5 in Milwaukee, where he, again, tied 2-2 back in Milwaukee and we go and steal one. He had the dunk on Kawhi in game 6 that sent us to the NBA Finals. Or he had the dunk on Giannis, sorry.
Don't forget game 3 against Milwaukee, because we were down 0-2.
Oh, game 3.
And that game went to double overtime. They were on their last legs. Like, if we didn't win that game, it's over for us.
Oh, you know what I was thinking about, actually? Going back to this finals, I really feel like Phoenix, if they're going to think about one game, it's going to be that game 4, where they had the lead in the fourth, a 9-point lead, and then Chris Paul became Chris Paul. But anyways... Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be my first pick, 2019 Kawhi. And now the next one. It wouldn't be the Saran show if I didn't. It wouldn't be a Saran pick if I didn't pick LeBron. So I think the more impressive run for me personally was just like absolute pure domination and helped him get his first ring. No, I lied. 2013. I think the 7-game series ring? Against San Antonio. Yeah, I think that was more impressive. I had to switch up because I think 2012 game 6 had the one against Boston that's notorious for that meme, but I do think 2013 had more body of work, and that Spurs team was like elite defensively, and like historically I think they started the change of like hunting corner threes and everything, so kind of like took out a dynasty in a sense. They were near the end of their dynasty, the Spurs were, so I'll go with 2013 LeBron, and he had the block on Kent or Thiago Splitter.
And he had hit that big three.
Hit the three, yeah.
He hit the three right before the Ray Allen one. I thought that was huge. Like, I feel like people don't give him enough credit for that. And then the pull-up dagger in game 7.
Oh, yeah. His jumper started dropping in that game 7. I remember they were kind of sagging off him for a little bit. But, yeah.
What was the... Who did they play, like, going into the... Before the finals? Like, what was the run there?
Indiana.
Nothing. Remember? Oh, that was Paul George, right?
Yeah, Paul George is
Roy Hibbert. Yo, shout out Roy Hibbert.
Yeah,
prime Roy Hibbert.
Is that was that the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah,
it was.
But then the East was kind of weak back then. I don't think they saw Chicago that year.
No, they did see Chicago.
Was that?
But that was Derrick. No Derrick Rose.
Yeah, no Derrick Rose, and then Oh, first round.
Yeah, Milwaukee. That, is that where Brandon Jennings? He said the Bucks in six?
Yeah. Oh, maybe. They got swept.
So. Yeah, I think they were down, and he said Bucks in six. Like, they were down by two.
Yeah.
And then that's why it went viral.
It's just so easy to go viral nowadays. Just have everything pre-recorded, and then you just play it at the right moment. Wow, amazing.
Yo, did Brandon Jennings play for the Pistons, or am I tripping?
He did, yeah.
He did.
And nobody else, right? Or maybe like a 10-day here and there? But like I don't overseas. Remember anybody.
Yeah. What if he was in the Middleton trade? He might have been.
I remember when Middleton was traded to Milwaukee. Because I remember like him starting to get good. I'm like, wow, like this
oh,
guy.
Oh, I have it.
They just gave him away.
Yeah, I have it up. It was Middleton and Brandon Knight for Brandon Jennings.
Damn.
Fleeced.
That's a fleece job.
Highway robbery.
Damn. But they had to take on Brandon Knight, who like yeah. has taken the most L's I've ever seen.
Yo, I remember like me and Chris were watching that draft. And like we wanted Brandon Knight so bad.
Yo, 2011, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Were you there too, Saran?
Yeah, I was there. There
too. What? Jonas Valanciunas? What? I want this guy. He doesn't speak English.
Bro, we were so heated. The next pick was like Jan Vesely. He was like, why didn't we get this guy?
Yeah, yeah, he can dunk. Yo. Okay, that's your two, right?
Yep. Back to Enoch.
Okay, so I only really had three on my board. And so far, none of them have been taken. So I'm going to go with... See, I'm scared. I don't know who Francis is going to take.
I want to take some weird ones. Or I have some in my head that I'm thinking of.
I'm going to go with this one. Because I remember watching this one. And this led me to buying my first ever NBA jersey. We talked about the Heat last time, my last pick. I'm going to talk about the Heat again, but I'm going to say good things this time. I'm going to go with Dwayne Wade, 06.
06.
Oh, yeah. Heat. Good pick.
And, like, he straight up just, like, carried. Like, I think he was down 0-2 in that series, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, if you look back on, that team is, like, I'm not going to bash on them too much, but it's one of the most surprising finals wins and playoff runs we've had in, like, the last 20 years, or maybe even ever, because they had Wade, obviously, who averaged 28.4, 5.9 rebounds, 5.7 assists. And then they had Shaq, who is past his prime, averaged, you know, 18 and 9. Not, you know, okay, but, you know, not prime Shaq that we're accustomed to. And then the third highest scorer is Antoine Walker, who is way past his prime, averaging 13 points a game. And then that's it. That's all the double-digit players. They only had three players averaging double digits during that playoff run. Next was Jason Williams, White Chocolate.
White Chocolate. I mean, he was on that team.
They had the glove too, right?
They had the glove, but wait, like this was like end of the line, Gary Payton.
That was after.
Like James Posey, Udonis Haslem. Like, I Darrell respect Wright? Who, no, not yet. Not yet. Not Darrell Wright yet.
Darrell Wright was way after. I think Carlos Arroyo was there, if I remember correctly. I just remember that team a lot.
Jason Capono.
Oh, Capono. The 3-point. Did he win back-to-back?
Yeah.
3-point shootout? I think.
Yeah, he did. That was like peak Raptors fandom right there. We had nothing going on for us.
I remember even cheering for Dallas that year. Because I remember this was like 06, so it was like grade 6. I remember watching Devin Harris, and I was like, I was trying to get the elbow jumper like Devin Harris. Like, it was so automatic for him. I remember that whole playoff run. And then Josh Howard was so sick too to me. And then I remember the D-Wade finals. I was like this guy's nasty. Like, at such a young age. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, what his third year.
Third or fourth.
Imagine winning in your third or fourth year. Like, that's like unheard of now.
They took down the Nets and then the Pistons in seven, and then went on to win against Dallas, who I think they were number one seed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So shout out D Wade. I mean, I think after that, like I bought my first NBA jersey, which was the red Miami Dwayne Wade shirt.
That jersey. One is a good one.
That was my first ever NBA jersey. Like, I was even, like, a huge fan. Because I just thought, like, Dwayne Wade was cool because, you know, he won a championship. Who's next, though? Francis? Francis next?
I think for my next one, I'm going to go with a Kobe pick. And I think I'm going to go with, I'm going to say the 09. 09 Kobe run. Because that was the year that he played the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And I remember, like, that was so entertaining to me. Because the Nuggets, I loved the Nuggets back then with J.R. Smith and Melo. And they were, like, they were killing it. But Kobe always had an answer in that series. And then in the finals, they went up against Orlando, against the young Dwight Howard. And it was just too easy for him. Like, he had that one move where he went from the left to right around Dwight Howard. And that was the first time, because I was a big Kobe guy. So that was his first ring without Shaq. So I remember being amped for that. But I really wanted to see the LeBron-Kobe matchup, I remember, that year.
It was supposed to happen.
But then he what lost happened? To Magic.
Yeah, you lost to Dwight Howard and Jameer Nelson.
That's a good team.
Yeah, I just remember when that... I think it was a 4-1, right? Because Orlando didn't really have a chance at all. I remember it was just Dwight and like a bunch of three-point shooters. And like on the defensive side, like no one could guard Kobe. I think they had Michael Petras on him.
They had Petras and Barnes, I think. I don't know if Barnes was there actually yet.
Or was there, pretty was sure it Rashard Lewis still there?
Yeah, Rashard Lewis,
yeah.
Yeah, so they had just snipers and Dwight Howard in the
Didn't Rafer Alston have to play because Jameer Nelson was hurt? And I remember Jameer Nelson was their guy.
Yeah, Jameer was sick on Orlando. Vince Carter wasn't there yet, I don't think.
No.
JJ Redick was there.
Oh, yeah, he was. Because I remember he talks about that.
Though. Actually, no. I remember in his podcast, he said, no, he didn't play that much. I don't remember him.
That was a good Nuggets team they beat, too.
Yeah.
I remember that Nuggets team, like, they were just steamrolling.
Billups. Their way to the Birdman.
I'm trying to remember who they played in the first couple rounds. Because I remember there was, like, one round where they... I don't know if it was this run, but they played the Jazz and Darren Williams. Yeah.
That was a good Jazz team.
Would it be that one? Yeah, because Darren Williams got drafted in 04.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I remember there were a couple games where Kobe just went off and he had an answer for everything.
First round, it was the Jazz. And then there was Houston in 7.
Yeah.
Against Yao Ming, Denver, and Orlando.
There was a weird Houston run somewhere in that time frame where Houston made it to the Western Conference Finals without Yao, and they had like the weirdest team. I don't know if you guys remember.
Was it like Aaron Brooks?
Yeah, it was like Aaron Brooks. Like it was like meta, like or a Ron Artest. They had no like star at all, but like it was like Scola, Ron Artest, and Aaron Brooks, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals somehow.
I think I remember because I remember Aaron Brooks just like lighting it up.
Yeah,
I forget which one it was. It's like Aaron Brooks, really.
And it was without Yao and T-Mac.
Damn.
What's your second pick?
Oh, I have a back-to-back.
Yeah, you got a back-to-back.
I kind of want to go with this one. But I also kind of want to go with this one. But this one's like not even... weren't even close to winning. You know what? I'm going to pick it.
Chris Bosh, 2008.
I'm going to go with Damian Lillard.
What?
2019.
Damn.
Yo, that... I watched every Portland game. I remember watching every Portland game from the first round to the Western Conference Finals. And Dame, like I was already a fan. Like, I already had his jersey at the time. But, like, that's where I became, like, a super fan. I was like, this guy's so sick.
Yeah.
That was the OKC buzzer beater year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he played the Nuggets in the second round. Didn't play that well, but he still willed them to win. And there was like bare overtimes, I remember, in that series. And then they went to game 7, and then they got swept by the Warriors.
Without KD.
But the shot alone, I think, is so memorable, and it's so fresh in my head. And I remember that's where he like solidified himself as like, I'd say like a 1A, 1B. My favorite players in the league. So I think I'll pick that.
After that run, I bought the Dame 5s. So if your playoff run makes me buy your merch, you have a place in my heart. That's what we've learned from this draft.
Didn't even make the finals. And it's one of my three favorite runs.
That would have been such a weird finals, like Raptors, Portland.
Yeah.
The only people watching it is people in Portland and people in Toronto. Yeah. No one else would care.
I really wish they made it, though. Like, that year, like, that whole OKC series was so sick to me because he was, like, going toe-to-toe with Westbrook.
Oh, and they had their beef.
Yeah, and then the shot that he hit over PG, like, the fact that, like, it wasn't just the shot. It was everything leading up to it. Like, he hit a couple clutch baskets because they were down. And it was for his 50th point.
Yeah.
Bro, what was Giannis's 50th point? Like a free throw?
A free throw.
Was that the series where Dame, he's like, hell no, to like a
I was just going to say that.
A Westbrook 3, and then he does bombs away.
Yeah. And then he did the wave.
That's tough.
You could have said like, I mean, I feel like every time Portland is in the playoffs, he's like on this list of singular guys carrying their team. This year, you could say, or remember the year he hit the buzzer beater against Houston?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 14 or something? It's like rookie year or second year. So that's your top three right there. LeBron, Kobe, Dame. That's a solid big three if you sign up for the big three with Ice Cube. So to wrap up my big three, Saran's going to like this one. I'm going to go with Steph Curry, 2015. So that was
finals MVP.
But, hey, listen, he averaged over 28 a game that whole playoff run, and it was like the coming out party for it. I know they like finished first in their conference, but I remember watching, I think one of the iconic moments from that run was like, I know it happened in the first round, but I remember watching it, and it was when I think it was game 2 against the Pelicans.
Oh,
when
yeah.
he hit that dagger in the corner, like falling away.
Did Anthony?
He was over
it
AD.
It
was over
AD. N1, right?
Yeah.
But wasn't it to go to overtime?
Yeah. And they were down like 15 or something.
Yeah.
Like in the fourth.
Yeah.
Like I was like, yo, this guy's insane. And then they went on to, I think they beat Houston. And then it was
San Antonio wasn't there, no?
Oh, Memphis. Grizzlies.
Oh yeah.
Grindhouse.
Mike Conley got hurt that series. I remember that.
Yeah, Grindhouse and then Houston and then the final. So, like, relatively easy just because they were so dominant in the regular season as well. So, it's kind of like you kind of expected it. But, like, you can say that it's easy, but you still have to do it. Like, it's like super teams, right? Like, you can say that, you know, preseason, you're the favorites, but you still have to do it. You still have to execute. And with that pressure being the top seed, it's not always as easy as you think. And then NBA Finals. This was the legendary matchup that Saran and I will argue about to this day. And yeah, okay, sure. Dele trapped him for one game, game 2, when he shot like 20%. Okay. But the rest of the series, you can see he averaged like close to 30 points. Okay. So I'm going to put Steph Curry as my third pick here to wrap up my draft. So I've covered like pretty much almost like not three generations, but
15
like
years.
I've got like 15 years. So.
From 06
not,
to...
Not bad, actually. So I got Dirk, D-Wade, and Steph as my three.
I wanted to go with a Steph one, but I feel like KD ruined it for him.
I was going to say the best Steph run was 2019 when KD wasn't there.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like,
he
I mean,
cooked the Raptors.
That's the one that's... I don't really have moments in my head, playoff moments in my head, because they were so dominant.
Yeah.
It's like they just cruised to the finals and to the championship those KD years. So I feel like KD kind of ruined it for him. And then also the fact that he wasn't getting finals MVPs. Like even the 2015 one.
Yeah, that's tough.
The fact that he didn't get it. But he definitely deserved it. I don't know like what the hell was happening.
I still don't understand the logic, but it was funny to me as a LeBron fan. I was watching that. I was like, that's kind of sad.
I still think 2018... he would have won it had he not had that one. He had a dud in one of the games in 2018. Like, he was, I thought he was the front runner until, I think it was like, because they won it in five, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 2018.
Yeah.
It was either game four, I think it was game four or game five, where he had one dud and it ruined his chances.
And then KD was hitting the dagger.
Yeah, KD hit that dagger. You need to have like a signature moment, I feel, to help the narrative.
Yeah, it was also like the KD versus LeBron matchup too. Like the one-on-one. Oh, and then passing KD's out here saying, oh, 2017-18, oh, it's just as good as 2016. Like,
yeah, it was evenly matched. Like,
just stop.
It was evenly matched.
Stop, like, evenly matched, like, please, like. All right, Saran, wrap us up here. Last pick.
This might be a, remember my Love Actually pick? No, I'm not going to do it.
So you didn't watch this?
I didn't watch this.
Gotta say, I didn't watch it live. 1984, Larry Bird.
Yeah. Ralph Sampson for the Houston. Nah, I'm gonna go. I didn't watch it live, but I think over the years you kind of hear about this guy, and is the folklore of Allen Iverson. I'm gonna go with this 0-1 playoff run, and literally, I just remember the step over, and I think that's a playoff run against the Raptors too, where he hit the shot. They went to play the Bucks, which had young Ray Allen at the time,
second round.
Yeah,
and it, like if you look at that team, I remember one of the most recent 2Ks. They had the 0-1 Philly team, and I remember picking them, and I was like, this trash. Team is so trash. Like, it was like Eric Snow, Aaron McKee.
Snow, I remember Eric Snow. Mutombo won defensive player of the year.
Mutombo was there.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know, Theo Ratliff or something.
Is there like a, was there a Keith Van Horn?
Keith Van Horn, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of like randoms, and then Allen Iverson.
But yeah, I think it was one of the most like mismatched finals games, and for him to even get that one in the finals, for him to do it so epically, I think.
Yeah, because that was the only one they lost, right? The Lakers.
Yeah, they were 15-1 that year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough draw.
Yeah.
Tough draw.
It's also crazy how no one picked 2021 Giannis.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay, you know what? You just gotta let it simmer. Like, you know, we look back on it 2 years, 3 years from now, it's like, man, you know what? As Chris said, you just gotta learn to appreciate greatness as you watch it, you know?
Okay, fine. I'll appreciate it down the line.
I was actually thinking of picking.
I was thinking more of like what, like before this year. But you know what? We'll do this draft in 5 years, and yeah, it might be number one or two, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
The alley-oop and the block were actually like
iconic.
Iconic, yeah. The stare down from the dunk, the alley-oop
was like
the reaction was better. That's
a series defining, man.
But that's Drew's play. That's not Giannis's play. It was a sick dunk regardless.
Yeah, you put the exclamation point.
But the block, I remember, I was hating on it last time, but pretty good defensive play regardless.
Well, he was helping. He went from helping to like turning around.
Yeah.
And swatting it in a matter of like 0.5 seconds.
Yeah.
But you know what? Aiden should have went stronger with that. I feel like
it was kind of high though. Like, it was,
and the pass was off.
I feel like Aiden also after the second game, or he just didn't look the same. Like, he didn't look as confident as he did the rest of the playoffs. Like, he looked kind of shook.
He was so shook game six.
He seemed shook, yeah.
He was fumbling and bumbling everywhere.
I don't know if it was his. Okay, it kind of is his fault, but he got some ticky tack foul calls. Like, he got foul trouble. Was it like game four, game seven yesterday? Wasn't it like five fouls? Game six, yeah, sorry.
He was on the verge of, like, falling out.
But I just remember he'd always play the hands-back defense on Giannis, too, and I'm like, oh, that makes it so much easier for him, too.
Congrats, Milwaukee. Bonkers Nation. Congrats. You, do you deserve it? I guess you deserve it, sure. I mean, 65,000, I know that half of you guys only started watching basketball 2 weeks ago, but that's fine. Every city goes through that. First one in 50 years, we'll give it to you. And that wraps up 2021. And that wraps up this podcast. So if you haven't done so already, follow us at The Offscreen Shooters on Instagram. Otherwise, we will see you next time.
See ya.
Peace.